Okay, so we're doing. I figured I'd do something related to Sukkot, and I looked in the Rashba, and there was no Agadah about Sukkot. So I picked out an Agadah to which I knew about Sukkot. So we'll do that. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And it basically, it's part of a longer Gemara, but it talks about how, like, Lasid Lavo, at some point when God is judging the Jews and the nations of the world, God will, so to speak, there'll be like a dialogue between the nations of the world asking God to give them another chance, or basically something like that. Like, God will be judging the nations of the world, and there's a whole long dialogue about that. He'll say that they didn't keep the Torah, they should have kept the Torah, he gave them the opportunity to keep the Torah, whatever. So I'm going to jump into a dialogue about that. So the Gemara says, they said, Amru Lefanov. This is on Gimel Mon Aleph in Avodah Zarah, just for your reference. So it said, Amru Lefanov, Rabbono Shel Olam, Tenu Lanu Meirosh V'Nasana, give us another chance, let us do the Torah now. Okay, let us do the Torah now. So it's true, we missed our chance. The Jews kept the Torah, the Kol Torah Kula, but we didn't. But let us do it now. Right? Let us do it now. So Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shotim Sheba Olam. They're fools in the world. Mi Shetarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. Someone who is Torah, who toiled, who bothered on Erev Shabbos, gets to eat on Shabbos. Mi shelo tarach b'erev Shabbos, but someone who doesn't toil on erev Shabbos, meichan yochal b'Shabbos, how's he going to eat on Shabbos? Okay, so what does that mean? What's the mashal? It's a mashal, right? So what does it mean?
Someone who does Torah gets to have the benefits, and someone who doesn't.
Right, exactly. It's like erev Shabbos is like the preparation for Shabbos, right? So Shabbos is the enjoyable day, but you can't enjoy Shabbos if you don't prepare an Erev Shabbos, right? Everyone, you want to get all the fun, but you're not willing to put in the bother or the tircha, the hard work that it takes to get the Shabbos. So if you don't prepare an Erev Shabbos, you're not going to get Shabbos. So the goyim, it's very nice that you wake up now after Lasid Lavo, whenever this is, whatever it is, but you wake up now and say, oh, we want to get a chance to keep the Torah. Okay, well, you had your chance. That was your Erev Shabbos. That was the time to do it. You can't now, after it's over, say, hey, now we want a chance. It's too late. You missed your shot. Okay, so then the Gemara says, but, Ela Afal Pikein, even though that's the truth, the reality is that's it. You missed your chance. But still, God's saying, I'll give you a chance. Mitzvah Kala Yeshli. I have a very easy, a light mitzvah for you. It's Sukkah Shema, and his name is Sukkah. L'chu v'asu osa. So go and do it.
Are these non-Jews?
Yes, these are non-Jews. Yep, and they're saying they want a chance to do the Torah. Give us the Torah now. He says, look, you missed your chance. But even though you missed your chance, I'll give you another shot. So I have this light, easy mitzvah called Sukkah. Go and make it. Okay? That's what it says. So what happened? So before the Gemara interrupts. Okay? It says, umi matzah samar hachi. Could you say this? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Ma'idachsev asher mechim tzavcha hayom." At the mitzvos, the words which I command you today, says, "What does hayom mean? Hayom la'asosam, v'lo l'machar la'asosam. Today to do them, but not tomorrow. They're not to be done in Olam Haba. The mitzvos are to be done today, not in Olam Haba. Hayom la'asosam, v'lo hayom li'tol schar." Right? In other words, today is the time to do them, but today is not the day of schar. So in other words, the Gemara is saying, this statement Rishon Levi is saying, Hashem Sevcha Hayom, that today, now, in this world, is when you do the mitzvahs. Not in the world to come. The schar is in the world to come, but the mitzvahs are to do right now. How could you say that he's going to give them a chance to do the mitzvah now? The pasuk says today. Today is when you do them in this world, not in Olam Haba. It's too late. Right, so what does that mean? What's the question? Didn't everybody deal with this? Right, wasn't that the whole thing about Erev Shabbos, you know? Right, it's asking a question somehow, that this world is when you do mitzvahs, not then. So how is he saying, how could he even say, I'll give you this mitzvah, you know, in Olam Haba?
So they died already?
Yeah, I think it's saying he's like, they died already. He's like judging them after that. Something like that. I mean, it's kind of hard to depend.
Build a sukkah if you're
dead. Okay, good.
It feels like a very physical mitzvah.
I know. See, well, that's what's tricky here. Is like, it's a good question. It's a very good question. See, there's different ways of learning Olam Haba. You know, like the Rambam learns Olam Haba is totally a non-physical dad existence. You know, like your soul, non-physical existing. The Ramban, for instance, learns Olam Haba is in this world that God will break Tiras Mesim. God will bring back, and it'll be a world where something like we won't really have the Yitzhara, we'll basically be doing the mitzvos and the, or doing the Torah, and or we'll be all learning Torah, understanding Torah, and everyone will be perfected, something like that, and we'll be in this world and we'll live forever. Like that's what he learns all about.
Is it like a parallel to this
world? It's in the future. It'll be in the future. Yeah, it'll like actually be in the future in this world, as opposed to the Rambam, who learns the ultimate Olam Haba is like a non-physical existence. So Ramban's like, we'll come back and we'll exist, you know? So in the, according to Ramban, it's a little easier to understand what this is talking about. It's saying is, the next world, it's all over, and it says, look, you missed your shot. But now the Gemara is saying is, oh, so how could you... But now the Gemara is asking a new question, is that it says the mitzvos are for the world, for the first world, for the this world, not for the world to come. So it's easier to understand how it's even practically possible. But like, look, you could say according to the Rambam that's what it's asking. What do you mean? How can you do mitzvahs in the world to come? There's no such thing as mitzvahs in the world to come. They're, you know, you're not physical. But either way, my question is like, isn't this, didn't it just deal with this problem? It just dealt with this problem. Is that they said, look, you missed your shot. You missed your shot, Erev Shabbos, whatever. But God's saying, I'll do you a favor, I'll give you a chance anyway. So now the Gemara says, oh, but what do you mean Rishon Levi says, I yom las ozen today, not tomorrow? Right? Are you guys following? You follow the question, right?
I think so. Yeah. Doesn't it sound the same?
Yeah, it sounds the same. What's that?
Yeah. Just them agreeing.
That's agreeing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also,
I don't really understand the question from the first mussel. They were asking the Torah ask then. They're not saying they want to, you know, reap the rewards without being Torah. The mashal says if you prepare on Erev Shabbos, then you can eat on Shabbos, right? But they were asking now for keep the Torah.
Well, I guess they were saying we want it now, but they said, I guess it says, look, Erev Shabbos is over. You missed your chance. You can't get a new Erev Shabbos. Now it's Shabbos. Now it's Olam Haba. So. Look, you want to make Erev Shabbos, like let's say on Shabbos, the real in the world, in the mashal. So it's Shabbos. So you'll say, I want to eat, I want cholent. We'll say, well, you should have done that Erev Shabbos. We'll say, fine, so give me Erev Shabbos. I don't even give you Erev Shabbos. It's not Erev Shabbos, you missed your chance. So it's very nice they want it to be Erev Shabbos, but it's not Erev Shabbos, you missed your chance.
But they're not Jews, don't they?
They don't have to, but they're saying is like afterwards they're looking back and saying, hey, these Jews are getting the great stuff, we want in. You know, and God says, part of the mashal is God says, look, I gave you a chance, you missed your chance, you turned it down, you said no, you said you're not interested, that, you know. So that's like, now they're looking back, and you know, I'm kind of jumping in the Gemara. It's part of like a longer debate, you know. Is that, was that Chaim? Did I answer your question? Was that Chaim?
Yeah.
Okay, Sam and Chaim also there.
Anything to do with where we learn that you get all
your
schar in this world for the next world?
Yes.
Is that where we learn it from?
I think so. I think it's related to that. I think you're hitting on something here. Right. It's saying is now in this world is when you do the mitzvos, and in the next world is when you get the reward. Right. Right. Yeah. So what's that idea? What's it saying? What's the idea that it's saying is how could you even... See, the first one is saying is tough break. Yeah, tough break. You already missed your shot. Your shot was on Erev Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos. Now the Gemara is saying, but okay, fine. God wants to be nice to them and give them a second shot. But how couldn't you do that? It's Olam Haba. That's not the place for mitzvos. Mitzvos are not an Olam Haba phenomenon. Mitzvos are an Olam Hazeh phenomenon. You know what I mean? It's the first one is saying it's not. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve to get it because you missed your chance. It's already Shabbos. The second, but then you can say God will be machal. God will be nice. He'll give them a shot. But now the Gemara is somehow saying, yeah, but how could it be? Mitzvos are, Sabina, as you're saying, it's like this world is when we do mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are a phenomenon of this world. And they give us schar for the next world. They're not a phenomenon. Like, let's say, according to what Sarah was saying, according to the Rambam, you just can't. You can't do mitzvahs in there. The mitzvahs are part of being physical. Right? They're part of being physical. That's what mitzvahs are. Or even according to the Ramban, mitzvahs are man controlling his taiva and involving himself in perfection. That's a phenomenon of the Olam Hazeh. That's not a phenomenon of Olam Haba. It's not a matter of being nice to them. It's just there's no such thing as doing mitzvahs in Olam Haba. Olam Haba, you're not the type of being to whom mitzvahs apply. Mitzvahs apply to a being in this world who's conflicted, who has conflict, Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, and you have to decide between. It's not subject to, it's not a topic in Olam Haba. So God is very, it can be nice as he wants, it's just not a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? They have to control your desire. You're not in that state. You don't have desires. It's the Olam Haba, which is a different type of an existence.
So is it like if they were in a sukkah, they'd just be happy?
Right, exactly. It would be as if, in other words, according to the state of Olam Haba, is not a state of war of conflict. Like according to the Rambam, for instance, you're just non-physical. According to the Ramban, you're a physical body, but essentially it's like the Gemara says. It's like the Gemara says there's no achila, no shia, just tzaddikim sitting and learning, enjoying the learning about God. So it's just, there's no conflict. It's not like, oh, the sukkah is annoying, I have security in my house. It's just that these are like instinctual forces in the Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is not a world of those conflicts. So mitzvahs doesn't make sense in Olam Haba. Well, mitzvahs are a means for getting schar and Olam Haba. They perfect your character. You have a conflict, you have an emotion that you take the security in your house, and you go to the sukkah and you realize the only security is really with God, and thereby you undermine your emotions, and you gain in your attachment to truth as opposed to your wishes and your fantasies or whatever it is. That's in Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is not that. That's not the person who's in Olam Haba. It's not the being who's in Olam Haba. And therefore, even if God wants to be nice to them, you can't give them a mitzvah. A mitzvah, sukkah is not just to sit in a hut. Sukkah is to control your desire to sit in your house and to sit in a hut. So it just, that's not a mitzvah. So that's what Gemara is saying, is that it's not just a matter of you don't deserve a second shot. It's not possible to have a second shot because the mitzvah, there's no such thing as mitzvahs anymore. Right? Good, is there a question? Are you guys with me here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So that's Gemara's question. So how could God go along with them? It's not shaykh to give them a mitzvah. It's not shaykh to have a mitzvah in Olam Haba. So it says, Ela she'ena kosh baruch hu b'tron yam habrias. So it says, that's true, God could have said that. But God doesn't go like he doesn't, so to speak, come forcefully to knock out the brios, to knock people out. In other words, he could have said that, but he basically said, "Fine, even I'll grant you that. Ignore that problem." But he's just gonna like go along with it. Now, that really would have been what he could have said, but he's saying is forget about it. Okay, it's kind of a funny answer, but he's saying is that would have been a good thing. You're right, but let's go along with it anyways. Okay. Fine. So then the Gemara continues. So the Gemara is back to the story. So it says, "V'amai kari le mitzvah sukkah." Perhaps you were wondering, why is it calling sukkah a mitzvah kala? Right? It's not a very. If anyone's, and it's guys could probably relate to this more, but it's not an easy mitzvah. Okay, it's not an easy mitzvah. Girls could understand it, but it's nice to go out there for one night or for two nights or to eat a little bit, but to start sleeping there for a week, as you can imagine, it's hard. It's hard. It's just like your security in your house. But you just feel like, you have to go in, you go out, it's cold, it's hot, you can't sleep. There's an idea of being in your bed, being at home. It gets easy, but by the end of the time, it wears down on you. It's not, if you'd have to list easy mitzvahs, sukkah would not be one of them. And that's why friends, I don't know if this is the only reason, but a lot of people in the world don't sleep in sukkahs. It's a hard thing, and there are excuses and whatever, but I would think it's correlated to the fact that it's really hard to do, and therefore, Okay, so the Gemara asks, why is it calling sukkah mitzvah kala? What does that mean it's a mitzvah kala? So the Gemara says, Mishum d'les b'chzaron kes, because it doesn't cost, it's cheap, it doesn't cost anything. I know nowadays, these chach mats and the sukkahs, I know, but I guess...
Did they not spend, get wood and just...
I guess, yeah, I guess like it used to be, if you're in a society that you're making fires out of wood, like the wood was like a thing that like,
Wouldn't that make it harder though? because then you have to work so hard to put up the sukkah.
Oh, that's true. But I think, like, you know, if you imagine, like, your average goy nowadays, you know, who, like, you know, tell them to make a hut. Oh, buy some wood, take a hammer out, you know, like, people, like, nowadays, like, we're Jewish and we don't do that kind of thing. So it's like, for us to build a sukkah, it's like, how am I going to do that? I'm going to call the local guy, or I'm going to just go online and order it, and it's going to be expensive. But, like, if you imagine a society where you're chopping down trees all the time and you're getting some, you know, whatever it is, you get some wood, you put some leaves on top of your sukkah, it's not an expensive type of thing, I guess. I mean, that's what it's saying, right? So, I mean, obviously nowadays it is expensive, so I'm presuming that back then it wasn't. Okay, but it's still funny that that's the framework. Okay, it's not expensive.
That's what makes it easy.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it easy. I mean, it's true. That's one thing that makes certain mitzvahs hard, but there's other stuff also. I mean, what about the fact that you have to sleep in the sukkah for 7 days, or you have to live in the sukkah for 7 days? That's not easy.
The harder part would be the pull on your emotions. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be the money. It'd be more.
Right. Although that is a pull. That is one pull on your emotions. But sure. Right. I mean, you think that's like a side thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not the main thing of the mitzvah. Okay, good. So let's leave that question. Okay, it's a good question. Ever any other question? What is that? Why is money the framework here that we're measuring the mitzvah? Okay, fine. So then it says, so let's just continue going in the story. So it says, so right away, instantly, it's an easy mitzvah. They all did it. They all listened. They went and got a sukkah, built a sukkah on the roofs. Right? Perfect. They felt like very religious. Right? That's what they used to do. Rashi says they used to work. The roofs were flat, so they used to, you know, do stuff on the roofs. V'kosh baruch hu makdir aleim chama b'tkuvas tamas. So God basically made it like summer. You know, sometimes sukkahs is early in the year, and he basically, it was very, very hot, like the piercing sun on them. V'chol echad v'echad mevayit b'sukkos v'yotzei, and every one of them kicked his sukkah and they left it. They couldn't do it. All the guys got out of their sukkahs. It's too hot for us. We can't handle it. They kicked their sukkahs and they went out and they left. And it goes to pasuk shenema and inaska es most rosemo v'nashlichenu mimenu avosemo. So it's a pasuk that's in the in Tehillim. They loosened their ropes and they threw away their ties, whatever. It's a pasuk which is saying is like they're attacking. They're basically throwing away mitzvah sukkah. Okay, the pasuk is a reference to that idea. So that's basically what they did. God made it super hot for them. They threw away their sukkahs and they left and they kicked it and they left.
Confused because I feel like, you know, when I think of people that I don't think of them being able to be really hot and making sukkahs.
Right. But I guess God made it really hot. You know? God made it really hot.
Are they like human?
What?
Are they human? Is
that... Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I know. Let's forget about those kinds of problems, you know?
I'm just confused.
There's a problem here, though. What's the problem? The Gemara's going to ask it, but what's the problem?
If they want it so much, why are they giving up?
Okay. They want it so much, why are they giving up? But presumably that's what God's trying to make a point, that mm-hmm. you guys are weak. That's why, you know, you guys, it's very nice, you want to look up, but once it gets boiling hot, look what happens, you know? Right? Any other problem with it?
How about that you're not really chayav to sit in sukkah if it gets unbearably hot?
Okay, good. That's one question. The Gemara's going to deal with that. That's one question Gemara's going to deal with. Another question? Okay, so the Gemara says, "Makdir, God pierced them with the sun." V'ha Amar, "Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'bitchun yam b'riosav." Right, and the whole thing is, says God is being easy on them. Whereas God really could have just knocked them off with his saying, "Is look, it's too late. You guys can't do mitzvahs in the way in all mava." But it says, "No, God doesn't come with fighting against his brios." So what does he do? He comes and boils them out in the boiling hot sukkah. It seems like God's not being easy on them. I mean, the whole thing is, he's God giving them a chance. So now he's giving them a chance. That's not a chance. That's basically just coming at them with the impossible thing.
I don't think he was really giving them a chance. I think it was more just showing them, like, you're saying you want it, but you can't really handle it. And I'm not going to, like, deny that to you. I'm going to show you that you can't.
Right. Okay. I hear what you're saying. That's not what the Gemara says, but it would have been a good answer or a good angle, but apparently Gemara is holding that God is really giving them a chance. He's not just trying to knock them off.
Then it doesn't make any sense.
Right, then it doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, no, it does, because Mishum Nishol Namizim Nanda Mashkala B'tius Thomas Ad Chaga. Right? So, no, because this is the way the mitzvah is sometimes. And that might be kind of what you're saying. It's like, it's not like God's making it ridiculous, impossible. Look, that's the mitzvah sukkah sometimes has a hot days. Sometimes it is. It depends on the calendar and whatever. And Sukkot has a range of temperatures. So sometimes it's in New Hampshire, it's freezing cold. Sometimes it's wherever you're in Florida, and it can be boiling hot, or in Israel, even whatever it is. So the saying is, it's not like God is making it, God is coming after them with something that's impossible. Look, he may be giving them the harder range of the mitzvah, but that's not, look, that's the test. If you want to, and that's what he's saying. You want to do the mitzvah, fine. Here's the mitzvah in its hardest form. But that's not, he's not making it impossible, he's making it reasonable. Right? So the Gemara then asks the Chaim's question, but what do you mean, V'have luhut sairah, right? Yeah, but the Jews get it also, but when the Jews get it, they walk out of the sukkahs because they're mistire. That's halacha. If it's unbearably hot or unbearably cold, right, like you're in New Hampshire, it gets freezing, you go out of your sukkah. And if you're in Florida and it's, or wherever it is, and it's super duper hot, the sun is piercing down on you, you can't sleep, so that's mistire, because sukkah is you're living like you live in your house. If it's too hot, you wouldn't live in your house. That way, you don't live in the sukkah that way. So therefore, what's the test now? The test is they left the sukkah, but Jews also leave the sukkah in that temperature. So that's not a fair test. What would they do wrong? So the Gemara says, Nehi de potter. So you're right. It's true that the Jews are potter. Biute mi biute. But do they kick it? Do they have to kick their sukkah? Do they have to kick their sukkah? It says there's one thing if you, look, a Jew is potter from the sukkah. He leaves, look, he's potter. And he walks out. But the guy didn't do that. The goyim kicked the sukkahs. Kicked the sukkahs. They left it and they kicked it. And it says, and this is the funny part. I don't understand this part. Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Masachek Aleihem. So God basically sat and laughed at them. Okay, he laughed. Because it says, Yoshev Basmayim Yisrach. God sits in the heavens and laughs at them. So, and that's kind of, the more goes further, but that's the end of this part of the story. Okay, so that's the question. The question is, so what's the idea? I mean, that's basically the end of the story. What's the idea that it's trying to convey to us through this thing that they kick their sukkahs, and that's the problem. Yeah?
I think it's like, Jews, like, I mean, they know they're going to do it next year. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm hot, and it's really annoying, but I'm not mad at my sukkah for it. But to them, it seemed like it's the sukkah's fault that it's really hot. I'm really mad. Uh-huh. I'm trying to be all perfect, and uh-huh. I can't. Right. So I'm mad at you, sukkah, and then right. I kicked it.
Uh-huh.
They were mad at
but
the
even
mitzvah.
So,
why would they kick it?
Yeah. What did you say, Samina?
Even so, even if they're mad at it, why would they kick it? It's just disrespectful.
Right.
I mean, if you get so mad at someone, you can't help it. It kind of just happens. I mean, you don't actually just kick people, but like it's a thing, you know. It's more like this chair. Like you bump into the chair by accident, and then you kick it because you bump right. into it.
Right. Right. So what's the, so maybe like this, what does it reveal to us about the way, the difference between the way the Jew relates to the mitzvah, the mitzvahs, and the way the goyim relate to the mitzvah? So, because that's presumably what it's teaching. It's trying to show why it is that we don't have, why the mitzvahs of the goyim don't get all mava, because they relate to the mitzvahs in so and so way that they're kicking it, and we relate to mitzvahs in a different way that we don't kick it.
So even though when it's really hot and really hard, like it might be just improving us. But to them, they're not thinking of being improved. They just wanted to do the mitzvah, and they couldn't, okay. So they got upset.
Okay, yeah. So when we do is when it's really hard, what do we do? So you're saying we, but it's saying we don't do it either. We just leave it, because it's potter. We're potter.
I'm sure most people who are really into it will try and stay. But if it is really that hot,
right.
Then you can't do it.
Right.
You can't, like, you can, it can be really dangerous if it's not hot.
Right.
You're not gonna.
Right, but even once it's uncomfortable, then you're potter.
Yeah.
You know, then you're potter. So they relate to it, so again, so we relate to the mitzvos as blank, and they relate to it as blank. Could you do that again? Or?
To it as helpful, they relate to it as annoying.
As annoying?
No.
Okay, well, when it's annoying, that might be the case. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think presumably this is a mitzvah. This must be... Here's what my question is. It's like, it seems from this seems like a pretty significant Gemara, because it's trying to show you what it is about the Jews that they're getting Olam Haba and they're really good, and what it is about the Goyim who also want a mitzvah, but they're not quite doing it right. You know, their attitude is wrong. Because what's the difference? They're kicking it. I mean, that indicates an attitude. So what's their attitude about doing mitzvahs, and what's our attitude about doing mitzvahs, such that we're really subject to Olam Haba and they're not subject to Olam Haba? Right? It must be this, like, keying us into the right way to relate to mitzvahs.
Ours is, like, to help us, and theirs is, I think, more just to do it.
To
like
do
have
it.
That, like, I did
it, so. Right. Okay, good. Okay, good. So if it's there to help us, then what happens if you...
If you can't, then you can't. But at least you tried and it was there to help. And right. Maybe you can't do it, it's still there to help you.
Okay,
and
good.
For them, it's more like, you can't do it, I can't fulfill it.
Right, I understand. So then you're annoyed.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi, can you say that the guy view it as painful and torturous, that as soon as they get out of it, even if it's a legitimate reason to get out of it, they'll try to express that, but that's what it means by kicking the sukkah. I mean, they do have a legitimate reason, they might have to sit there, but they're expressing their, you know, distaste for the mitzvah, because for them it's just painful, and they don't understand the positive of the mitzvah.
She's saying is that then the whole mitzvah is painful. And since it's painful, once they're out of it, then they just... Well, then they should kick it even once they finish with it, even if they yotze, no? Or only if it's... You know what I mean?
If they were able to finish it, then they would still, as soon as they're like...
Kick it?
Good
right. Is that what you're saying, Klein, though? Like, it doesn't seem like they're going to kick it if they fulfill it. They're kicking it because they're annoyed that they didn't do it, it would seem, no?
They're showing that they're... happy that they were able to get out of it.
Who is that? When? If they fulfill it? Or because...
No, by kicking it, they're able to get out of it because it's very hot, so they're retired, so they don't have to be in it. So by kicking it, they're showing that they're extremely happy about being able to get out of it.
Oh, that doesn't seem like it's a happy kick, no? I mean, you don't kick something if you're happy. You seem to kick something if you're sad about it or you're frustrated, no? Yeah, you guys taking a train to New Hampshire?
What is this?
Let's do someone. Someone else, I guess.
I wonder who's taking a train.
Maybe it's Sabina. Yeah, Chaim, you hear what I'm asking you?
Yeah, I mean, I was saying they're happy about it, so they're showing, when they're happy about getting out of it, they take the opportunity to show their disdain for the sukkah. That's what means that they're kicking it.
Oh. But, I mean, they're asking for the mitzvah, so why are they disdaining it so much? It seems like they're looking for the mitzvah, no?
Maybe they want.
I mean, they're opting to take on a mitzvah.
Maybe they wanted a different one.
A different mitzvah. This is the easy one.
What's an actual easy mitzvah?
I don't know. Say Krishna or something.
No, then you have to wake up.
That's true.
I know plenty of people who don't like waking up.
That's true. Yeah.
They're not really easy to do.
Some questions.
That's a good one. It's pretty easy to be happy.
Yeah.
All vacations.
Yeah. What was that other question about why is it easy, right? Yeah, okay, someone else?
Yeah, Peter.
Yo.
Maybe the kicking is showing their general idea of mitzvot, that meaning that sometimes you can be in a situation where a mitzvah isn't necessarily going to benefit you, but that doesn't mean that the mitzvah itself is not a worthwhile activity. So I think it's saying that just because it's not benefiting me, I'm going to I'm going to look at this as a non-beneficial thing, and, you know, by kicking it, expressing that this thing is just, you know, there's nothing to this mitzvah anymore. This can't help me. But that's not true. Mitzvahs are beneficial. They're, you know, in and of themselves, they are, you know, beneficial. They're good.
So you mean they're looking at it as just for them, kind of thing? Just for their benefit. But why would you have to kick it? I mean, fine, so it's not for them. So now, so it's not beneficial. So now you kick it? Why do you need to kick it for?
I'm saying that they're kicking it because they're expressing their feelings towards this thing as an object. Like, this can't help me. This is an object. It's nothing. Like, it's a zero to me.
Right. But zeros, you don't kick zeros, though. No, you don't need to kick a zero.
Kick somebody that's less than
negative. Yeah, you kick negatives.
You don't kick a zero, like kick a rock. What do you mean?
Well, that's because, like, you're in the mood to play with rocks or whatever. But it's not because, like you kick enemies. Like, if something's a zero, just you walk by it. Like, if it's just a zero, you don't have to express that something is a zero. Like, kicking indicates, like, a negativity towards it. It would seem, no? Like, you don't have to go around to every rock in the world and kick it to show that it's a zero. I mean, who cares? A zero is a zero. I don't care about it. I mean, you kick it if you want to pretend like it's a zero, but really it's a negative or something. Okay, someone else have a thought?
I don't know, maybe they thought it was the sukkah's fault that it was really hot.
Sukkah's fault?
Yeah.
How so?
I don't know. I think of, like, your house. And it used to be like a house. And
okay.
If it's, then it should be comfortable, at least mostly, you know? Maybe
right.
There's some uncomfortable things.
Right.
Be like a house, but then it wasn't at all. It didn't help them at all.
Right.
And then they got, like, bothered by the hot sun. They got mad at the sukkah for not protecting them. I have a question about the sukkah. If it's supposed to be like your house, why does it have to have holes in them?
That's a good question. Well, I think it's supposed to be like a flimsy house. It's not like just to move into your friend's house, but the idea is like you leave your secure house and you go into a less secure dwelling and reflect on the fact that your real security is not in your house, but your security is in God. You know, so it's like that's the idea. Like you're going out, you're lowering, lessening your level of security. It reminds us of the Jews in the desert who they were in the desert and God took care of them. And
why don't they have it like something light? Like it's actually, you can't be in under that place in the sukkah if it's covered, right?
Oh, well, the idea is it's not like you're just going out into the into the sun and just sleeping in the, you are going into a dira, into a dwelling, it's just like a lesser one.
No, but that's what I'm saying, like, why can't it be like just like a light, you know, like if you put like a big, you know, they have those really big leaves, right. Why can't you put those on? There's not going to be that many holes, but no, it needs to be a lot of holes. Like, it's still something flimsy, but...
Oh, I understand. I don't know if it has to be, like, a lot of holes.
I heard that you have to be a little...
Oh, the stars. I know that's like a secondary halacha, I think, is you're supposed to see the stars. I don't know what that is. It's like a second... I don't think that's the primary idea. It just has to be majority shade. Usually you're not going to get a big leaf that's, like, you know... I don't think they come that big, usually. But it's an idea of you shouldn't pack it too thick, because you're supposed to see the stars. I'm not sure why. Maybe you're supposed to be able to see and think about Hashem, or think about, I don't know, I'm not sure. Think that you're outside. I don't know, it's a good question. But that's not like a primary halacha in this way, you know? Yeah, okay, so I'm thinking like this. Maybe the idea, does someone else have a thought? Miriam or Sabina, do you have any thoughts here?
No.
No. Okay. Okay, so I'm thinking that it has to do with the idea of mitzvos. Which is the proper way to relate to mitzvahs and an improper way to relate to mitzvahs. See, one way to relate to mitzvahs is like, let's start with the easier one. It's like easier because we understand it already. But it's like the mitzvahs are the opportunities. They're given by God to give you opportunities for perfection. They're commands of God, and they could lead you towards, you know, for your benefit, to lead you towards proper ideas, to think about God, whatever it is. You know, and if that's the case, so look, it's you have a mitzvah, and if the mitzvah, you do the mitzvah, you do the mitzvah. If you can't do the mitzvah, you can't do the mitzvah. You know, it's not like the mitzvah's a good thing. It's there for your benefit. But if sometimes you don't have mitzvahs all 24/7. I mean, look, if they're potter, you're potter. So you look, there'll be other mitzvahs, whatever it is. It's not, doesn't really, it's not, it doesn't affect you. I mean, it's just the mitzvah's the mitzvah. But there's another way to relate to mitzvahs is like a person is it's almost like a very, very childish type of a thing. It's like you have like rules, like a parent, and there's like a point system, like you're getting like, and you want to feel good about yourself, and you want to get like a star. There's like some sort of like a childish way. It's like not like a, that mitzvahs are there actually benefiting you, but it's like you're looking to amass as many points, like brownie points as possible, so to speak. And that's how you feel good about yourself, that you get to do all these things. And it's like an artificial type of a thing. You know, it's not like it's really giving you anything in actuality, but it's just like a person is, you know, is trying, wants to feel a certain way, and he's using mitzvos because he's trying to make himself feel like special, feel beloved by God, feel some sort of, you know, like he's so to speak, filling a void. People often relate to religion as filling a void. They're looking for some sort of something, and they want to feel like a good person. And through doing the mitzvos, they get to feel like you know, good about themselves.
Won't they find it through a void, though?
Won't they what?
They find it through a void.
Won't they find religion through a void?
Yeah, usually.
Yes, I agree. That's a good point. Is that's what people oftentimes turn to religion, because they have a void in their life. And they're using a religion to try to fill that void and to give them some sort of a meaning and to feel like they're worthwhile. So they feel they're worthwhile by, look, I'm doing God's mitzvah, I'm doing God's commandments, and I get a lot of points, and God loves me, and like that's what people do out of religion. They're looking to feel like good, like very good people. It's like a psychological satisfaction. As opposed to mitzvahs really perfecting your character, they can look at mitzvahs as like a way to just get a lot of points and to score up, you know, to feel like you're very good, like a good boy, you know, like a kid, like, you know, good boy, you know, like that type of a good girl type of a feeling, you know. That's like the way you relate to the mitzvahs. And if that's the way you relate to the mitzvah, so then if you don't get to do the mitzvah, so then it's very frustrating, because here it is, you're looking for the point, and you're looking for this thing, which is what the guy were trying to do. They wanted to get a chance that they could amass all these mitzvahs, so they could be, they wanted the mitzvahs again. They felt like, oh, we're missing out here. The Jews are getting everything good, and we want to get this good stuff. So they wanted to get mitzvahs, but here they're not able to do the mitzvah, so now they feel like, oh, now they lost their point. They didn't get their shot. So they feel like upset. It's like frustrating now, because as opposed to just looking at mitzvahs as just like a realistic way for a person to gain a benefit. So here it's like in a certain sense, is like for a Jew, is the mitzvah teishu kentadur, and that you have to submit to the reality of yeshiva b'sukkah. And the reality of yeshiva b'sukkah says that when it's nice out, you go in the sukkah, and when it's not nice out, you go in the house, and that's part of the perfection of the mitzvah. Is it's not just, you don't just sit out in the freezing cold. There's no reason for that. That's not the mitzvah. And look, you get the nature of the perfection is that you follow the system of the mitzvah. And the system is designed with the chachma, and you understand the concept of the mitzvah and teishu kentaduru. If it's disgusting out, or it's cold, or it's hot, you go inside. But that's a person who understands or relates to the mitzvah in terms of the concepts of the mitzvah and an understanding of the benefits of the mitzvah. So he realizes the mitzvah has its limits, has its situations where it applies, and the situation doesn't apply, and you just go with the mitzvah. But a person who's looking for an inner satisfaction, like a superficial satisfaction that they get a pat on their back when they do the mitzvah, so now if they have a situation where the sun burns them out, so first of all, they feel very upset about themselves when they can't do it. Because, like, they want to do the mitzvah, and they're looking for their point. And now's their chance for their point, and they're all excited to get their points, you know? Now that it's burned out, and now, first of all, they can't do the points. They have to leave. And only that, they feel like failures. They don't relate to the mitzvah in a conceptual way, and on the whole idea of halachically there's a Torah and whatever. They just feel like, I can't do it. So they feel very frustrated with themselves, and like they're failing, and then they're be able to achieve their points. Now, of course, they're upset with themselves, but they're not going to blame themselves, so they blame the sukkah, and they get angry and upset and frustrated at the sukkah, and they kick the sukkah. Like, they're really upset with themselves. Usually when people are, like, kicking things or whatever, they're upset at something about themselves, something's really bothering them, and they're just, like, projecting that onto the sukkah or onto these other things. But it's like their whole attitude of the way they're relating to the mitzvahs is that they're looking for this inner satisfaction, which, on the contrary, the not being able to do the mitzvahs, because it's so hot for me, they can't take a step back and realize, oh, there's a halachic pator, and that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with me, it's like anything. They're just annoyed that they here it is, they thought they were going to be big, great guys by, you know, sitting in the sukkah and really, you know, doing that, and it turns out they don't really get anything. They don't really get anything. And not only that, not only did they not get anything because they didn't get to do the mitzvah, right? They didn't even get anything in it to spending money on the mitzvah. Because it's an easy mitzvah. So, you know, I think that's part of the point. It's like, see, a person who's looking for that benefit in mitzvahs, in a certain sense, he prefers an expensive mitzvah. He prefers a mitzvah which is hard because he gets to feel like he's really giving of himself, you know? Here, the goyim don't even get the satisfaction that they spent the money on the mitzvah. If only the mitzvah was a sukkah was expensive, at least he'd get to feel like, fine, I'm running out of my sukkah, but at least I spent my money on the thing. Here, they didn't even do that. So, for a Jew who relates to mitzvahs in terms of the benefit of mitzvahs, he realizes some mitzvahs are money, some mitzvahs are not. Who really cares? The mitzvahs are different mitzvahs. The guy who's looking for self-sacrifice and for feel like he's a big part of the tzaddik, so then he wants them. The expensive mitzvahs is better. Yeah.
If they're dead and they're supposed to be like tzaddikim, I mean, if that's how that is, then wouldn't they not have this problem?
I know. That's that original question. That's kind of the original problem.
I understand if they're human and they can't do a mitzvah now they're doing it. Like, if they are, if this is any type of Olam Haba.
I know. That's a good question. I know. It's like the Gemara kind of like says God doesn't go after his drios. It's almost like he's like putting them back in a situation where they could. Look, they're an Olam Haba and it's not really shy. But he's like recreating like an Olam Haba, that type of situation, and putting them, so giving them a chance. So they could, like, so to speak, he's giving them a new Nisayon and putting them in that situation and showing their, you know, something like that. Because like, that's sort of thing was the Gemara's question. Is how could you, it's very nice, you want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Bottom line is they can't, they're an Olam Haba. So it seems like you have to say somehow God is, like, I don't know if this story actually happened. It could be just showing the concept, but it's showing you as like, is what would have happened, or God actually is going to give them a chance to re-experience it, put them back in a situation, and this is the way they're going to relate to the mitzvahs, you know? So however the story actually goes down, you know what I mean? But he's showing them that this is the way, and that's why I'm saying is specifically he chose a mitzvah kala, an easy mitzvah, easy in terms of the money, because he knew that if he gave them a mitzvah, which is there's the point, this is God's plan, is basically to show them, and that's what it's like laughing. There's a certain irony in the thing, is that here it is, they have the mitzvah, and they can perfectly do the mitzvah fine, and they're potter, and that's it, and they get, that's their involvement in the halachic system, and there's a perfection to that. There's a perfection to go in the sukkah when it gets cold, you say, okay, I study the halach of mitzvah, potter from the sukkah, I go inside, and that's fine. And that's, look, that's part of the mitzvah. They're different, some nights I sit in the sukkah, and I look up at the stars, and I think about Hashem. Other nights I think about the halacha of mitzvah, and that's like the way the halacha system works, is you're following, a person is disciplined, studying the halacha, figuring out what it is, and aligning himself step by step with the halacha, and that's the perfection. But they're not, and then some are expensive, some are not expensive, they're just, the system lends itself to a wide variety of mitzvahs, expensive, not expensive, doing the mitzvah, not doing the mitzvah, mitzvah, there's a, that's all part of the perfection of the mitzvah, is the person's totally involving himself in the halacha system, and in the benefits of the mitzvahs. But they're not interested in that. They're looking for the superficial psychological feeling that I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl. And the saying is the when you get a mitzvah kala, first of all, God, you don't get that. So right away they're getting frustrated. They don't like this. This is the mitzvah you're giving us. So we get to build a little hut. We build huts every single day. This is what we do. So they build a hut. Fine. So they go in the mitzvah. At least they get to feel like they're good people. They're sitting in the hut. They're leaving their houses. They're doing that, then they do it, and all of a sudden it gets boiling hot, and they just can't handle it. It's too much because, see, they don't relate to the mitzvah in the proper manner, and it's like if they're not really committed to the idea of mitzvah, so they're not going to be able to handle the extreme heat because there is an emotional framework, and the emotion of the pain of the heat is overpowering, and it's going to stop them from sitting in the sukkah, so they're not going to do it. And therefore, but now they're upset because they're here was their chance to shine. This is what they were looking for, and now they can't do it. Now they're really upset. So they're kicking the sukkah. It's interesting. The Gemara originally thought it didn't bring in the idea of the Mitzvah. So the saying is that, because I think there's another point, is that the Jew who relates to the Mitzvah, if you didn't have this halacha of Mitzvah, so you say the Jews sometimes would really do the Mitzvah anyways, because a person who relates to the benefit of the Mitzvah would be able to handle a certain amount of pain in the mitzvah, because he sees that there's a benefit, and he understands the benefit, and he realizes he's conquering his emotion, and he's overcoming that emotion, and he's doing the mitzvah. But for the guy where he's totally doing it for an emotional satisfaction, if it becomes too much pain, he's just going to, one emotion against the other, he's going to be overpowered. But the Gemara rejects that way of learning, because it says it's not true, the halacha here, and this mitzvah is if it's painful, that's not the mitzvah. So the Gemara then says, no, it's not that the Jew is going to do the mitzvah in the painful situation, but the Jew is going to be happy to let it go because he understands the halacha of Messiah. But the guy who's looking for the emotional satisfaction in the thing is not going to, you know, he's just going to be upset by the whole thing. The whole thing's going to turn him off. You know what I mean? So the punchline of this is, I think, that we have to look at mitzvahs in this type of way. And the more, you know, when we're kids, that's the way we relate to mitzvahs. In this childish way. It's like, I want to be a good boy, a good girl, I want to get the points, I want to, you know, I don't want my teacher or my parent to be angry with me, and like that's kind of like, you know, it's a very parent-child type of a thing. But when we grow up, we have to really realize the mitzvahs are related to Chachma, and realize that they're institutions given by God that are there to give us to help bring us towards perfection, towards a proper way of life, towards the certain proper ideas, avoiding, removing us from false ideas, from false values, from bad ethic, from bad character traits, from unhappiness. Yeah. And therefore, in each situation of a mitzvah, we should, you know, revise the way we relate to them. And if we feel ourselves, you know, it's normal for us to regress and to feel the mitzvahs are like a point system, because that's kind of that's why you have to, kids are raised. That's the way, you can't tell a kid, do the mitzvah for your own benefit. A kid doesn't understand that. So the kid is doing it for a snicker or for whatever the case is, you know. But when we get, as we get older, we have to think into mitzvah and try to relate to the proper idea and the benefit of the mitzvah, and then to rise above our child, you know. I mean, everyone has a child within them, and certain times we use these things to help motivate us, and it's like a lulishma type of motivation. But I think we should be striving alongside of that to replace those and to learn ideas and mitzvahs and relate to it on a more, you know, on a more adult, mature level, where that's the way we really be able to reap the benefits of the mitzvah, you know? But that's what really gives us the Jews Olam Haba and not the Goyim Olam Haba. Is that the Jews understand, that's the concept of the Torah, what the Torah does for us. Is that other religions, like, and you see other religions are like into self-sacrifice and torture, and like, it's a different type of an idea. It's not, the concept of mitzvah says vehicles of benefiting us and perfecting our character is the Chiddush of the Torah. You guys with me? Is there a question?
Why did God say you wanted to give them a mitzvah kala? They weren't asked what that meant, and it said because it doesn't cost money. But that's exactly not what they're looking for. It
right.
Like the Gemara was that it was a favor to them.
Right. I'm learning not that way. I think I'm learning not that way. I'm saying, I mean, I want to think about it some more, but I'm saying is, that's what it sounds like. But it's saying is, it's not because he wanted to do a favor to them. He was setting them up. He said mitzvah kala, and they may have, you know, it may have sounded like a favor to them, but it was done in a way that would help show them their, you know, set them up and let them see the, you know, their wrong attitude towards mitzvahs. It would illustrate their wrong attitude towards mitzvahs. Here it is, mitzvah kala, and they're kicking it. So what's going on here? Oh, because they're not relating to it properly. You know? Like, it wasn't really to make it easy for them. I'm saying it was really to... It was part of the limud. It doesn't matter, by the way, whether the story actually happened. I mean, it could be this is a mashal, just trying to. The Gemara is constructing the story to illustrate the concept of the way the Jews relate to mitzvahs and the way God relates to mitzvahs. Doesn't, you know, I don't know if, whatever. The actual happenings of the story are a little bit vague, and, you know, we don't really understand that stuff. But I think the point that I think we should take from it is the right and wrong way to relate to mitzvahs, which, you know, there's the right and wrong way in both of us, in both of them in us, and we have to, you know, we should think about them. Chaim, you hear what I'm saying? I mean, I want to think about it a little more, but...
No, I do.
Yeah, okay. Okay, any other questions?